little things float up in my brain, and I usually carry around a little notebook with me. And if I, you know, I get a certain phrase or an image, and I'll jot it down. Sometimes sitting at a stoplight, I've got thousands of these. And then when I do have some free time, which is mostly in the summers, then I kind of root through my drawers and find these and see if I can remember what I was thinking about and whether it sparks something, and then I go from there. And that's usually what happens. Every once in a while, a whole poem will come to me all at once, and I go into a kind of a trance and quickly write the whole thing down.
How do you suggest your students do it?
We usually do 2 poems a week, which is a lot. That's a lot more than I produce. But I usually give them an assignment in which one poem can be about anything that they want. And then the other assignment will be, I'll give them a topic, you know, like the Napoleonic Wars.
That's a difficult topic.
Which is a difficult topic. Or I'll give them a form, like a sonnet, and I'll say, okay, do this. And recently I did a ekphrastic poem. Which is where you write a poem about a work of visual art.
Well, have you ever done one like this, write a poem about your pet?
Yes. Well, I wrote this poem about my cat, which was my actual cat, Jack. The poem is based on, there's a fairly famous 17th century poem by Christopher Smart called My Cat Jeffrey, which I had in mind and was kind of doing a modern version of that. And I used the same form that Smart used, in which each line begins with the word for. And that is an ancient Hebrew form in which it's understood that the beginning of the line is, I will praise God for, and then you say something.
Let's hear My Cat Jack.
For I will consider my cat Jack, for he is not like me. For he wakes me in the morning, for he proclaims himself with a yowl. For when I stroke his head, he treadles my chest like a kitten getting milk. For his mother is Kasha, his grandmother is Pippin, and his great-grandmother is Xantippe, all living. For he is Siamese. For he cavorts under the sheets while I am making the bed. For he stretches by kicking back his hind legs like a skier. For he licks one paw clean, then tucks his head under that paw, and so the other. For he sits on my desk and lays his ears down and appears to be an owl. For he chases the balled-up poems that I discard on the floor and so enjoys them despite their imperfections. For he can move each ear by itself. For from the side I can see through his eyes like water. For he is easy in this life. For he does not think ahead to death. For he carries no cash. For he does not have any pockets. For he saves nothing, not even a bone. For he eats what I give him, mainly Friskies. For he is unemployed. For even in the cat box he maintains his dignity and squats very straight. For he does not know who the president is. For he comforts my mind, which ceaselessly rolls in doubt and fear. For in the asylum, Christopher Smart loved his cat Jeffrey. For in a rational century, Rousseau doted on feline Nanette. For in exile, Vladimir Lenin had a cat for a friend. For in fame, T.S. Eliot respected all cats. For young Jack is a small lion in my house. For he looks out the window for birds. For he listens to the walls for mice. For despite everything, he is not maddened by domesticity. For he leaps with real pleasure after a ribbon tied to a string. For he inflates his tail. For he fights with his back feet. For in dry weather, he is a bastion of electricity. For he can find obscure heat. For he curls about himself with his head upside down. For he sleeps.
I think I saw you first wrote this back in 1978. So as we fondly remember Jack, do you have another Chasing Your Balled Up poems?
Yes, we now have Gabriella, also a Siamese cat.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.